deadly germ in E. coli, salmonella on the rise, school nurses as a primary source for healthcare, and we're actually going to have a lost interview I recorded a while back with former president of the National Association of School Nurses, Donna Mazik. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to encourage all of you and welcome all of you to keep checking out the show here. Of course, we want to make sure that you also check out the show in a variety of different ways, and some of you are getting the show via iTunes or the Zune Player or some other online resource that is downloading to a device on your phone or on your MP3 player or video player. But a lot of you should also know that you can catch the show, audio and video versions, over at the Nursing Show website, nursingshow.com. You'll also find links in the show notes over there for each and every episode so you can follow up on the information in the news and also the tip segments that are featured in each week's episode. And I hope you will continue to do that. You can also, of course, leave comments over there if you have a particular thing you'd like to say about an episode, about a news item. You can go ahead and do that. And so I encourage you to do so. Of course, you can also get back in touch with me by email. Send those emails in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from each and every one of you. It's very exciting to kind of reach out and hear from each of you as you send in those emails and other comments. And I do respond back to every comment that comes in, whether on the website or via email. I try to touch base back with you. And it's important we do that. Some of you are sending in ideas for future episodes. Some of you are looking for specific resources. Sometimes I can point you to somewhere on my site or somewhere else that has them. Those types of resources available for nurses. And all of that is because you are part of this Nursing Show community. And I think this is a team effort. It's not something that I just sit down here and do in my studio, but something that really I think is a community project for all of the listeners and community here at the Nursing Show. So thanks a lot for checking out the show. Also, don't forget you can get video versions of the show online at nursingshow.tv. You can also catch those versions of the show over at places like the Roku box. So if you have a set-top box like the Roku that will enable you to get the video version of the show, you can find it there. If you have one of the Apple TV set-top boxes, you can find it there in the podcast section of the Apple TV. So there's lots of different ways, and actually quite a few of you have been getting in touch with me recently because you're actually sitting down and watching the Nursing Show in your living room, and that's pretty cool. So we're going to continue to push the envelope here and add more video programming to the Nursing Show as well as to the ProMed Network, where the Nursing Show is a proud member of. And so keep in touch and stay tuned if you're interested in more video content. We will be continuing to push more high-quality healthcare-related and nursing-related content out to you. Let's jump on here in just a sec into the news. Time now to jump into this week's news here on The Nursing Show, and we're going to start off with a story, two stories out of, one out of Germany, one out of here in the U.S., looking at foodborne infections. We talked about these things here in the show in the past, but it is one of those things, especially as summertime rolls around, people are eating more fresh vegetables, things that are coming from local produce and gardens. And I just wanted to bring these two articles to light, primarily to encourage you to, you know, get some information out to your patient populations, to get them information about good, safe food handling techniques and ways to avoid getting some of these foodborne illnesses. I start off because of, and some of you probably have heard about this, a recent E. coli outbreak, a particularly virulent strain of E. coli breaking out as a result of some apparently infected sprouts coming from a company in Germany. These apparently 22 people killed, 21 in Germany, one who was in Sweden but had recently traveled to Germany. And there's a lot of people, 2,200 people in 12 countries being reported having been sick with this strain of E. coli. It's quite an outbreak and seems to be related to restaurants and specialty food shops that had gotten this particular version of sprouts in. So, you know, we can't control necessarily what a restaurant does to wash food properly, to safely cook food, but you can still make sure you're preparing foods yourself at home. Make sure you're washing all of your vegetables very carefully. There are some excellent scrub, antiseptic kind of food wash detergents out there that are safe to eat, but you basically can use them to help wash off your food. And I'm not endorsing any particular kind, but I'm just saying there's ways you can do this. Also, safe handling and preparation. When you do have that food, you want to cook it to a safe temperature, maintain it at a safe temperature, and store it at a safe temperature. And all of that's very, very important. And so this is something that we need to be aware of. I would urge you in the nursing field, especially if you're in the emergency setting or the primary care setting, to educate yourself about E. coli, how it presents. I think we've covered it here on the Nursing Show in the past, so you can go to nursingshow.com, check out the search bar right there at the top right part of the screen, and you can search for E. coli and find episodes in the past where we've dealt with food poisoning, E. coli, and other things. And let's educate ourselves about this type of illness and how we can recognize it in our patients, prevent it in our patients, and treat it if the patients actually have a problem with it. Next up is another story about foodborne infections, this in the U.S., and in reaction to this E. coli outbreak, the CDC received some questions about food safety here in the United States, and they were happy to present a report that over the last 15 years, foodborne illnesses have actually declined by nearly one-fourth, 23% down in the last 15 years. Excellent news. Definitely our food is safer, either because we're handling it better or because inspection and safety at the packaging plant is at a higher level. But they did point out that, interestingly enough, salmonella over that same time frame has actually risen by 10%. So everything else is down, but salmonella still seems to be holding on. Salmonella commonly infects poultry, eggs, some vegetable materials, processed foods, and it is the most common form of foodborne illness in the United States. According to some of the information here in this article, there is, looks like about 2,000 people every year hospitalized for salmonella, and about 43% of the deaths in food-related illnesses are related to salmonella. So definitely a severe problem, something to keep track of. And again, something else you should educate yourself about. E. coli outbreaks happen here in the U.S. too, but it seems that salmonella is the most persistent offender in this range. So let's continue to expand our knowledge and education, and that's what we're here for. So I don't know if I've covered salmonella in the past. I might have, or at least as an overview in foodborne illnesses, but perhaps it's time for me to delve into that in a future episode here soon. But I wanted to keep this in mind, again, as the summertime approaches here in the U.S., and you want to start educating people about safe food handling. And that means not just cooking and preparing the food safely, but storing it afterwards. People leave stuff out at picnics for a long time in the hot sun, and then think it's okay to just go throw it in the fridge and it'll get cold fast enough. It may not be safe to eat at that point. So we need to make sure that we're educating people about how to do that appropriately, and they can take precautions. Take an extra ice chest with them, some extra ice to ice down things that need to stay refrigerated afterwards. These are all little tips. Again, nursing interventions, all about some simple, focused tips on how to help that patient be healthier. And these are just some of those things, you know, bringing an extra cooler with you. If you have a longer trip to the grocery store, taking an ice chest with you to the grocery store with some of those reusable freezer packs to go ahead and keep your food, cold food, cold on the way home when it's hot outside. So just some things to keep in mind, and I encourage you to send me your ideas. Maybe there's something you've come encountered with, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions. Of course, send those in to the email address, nursingshow@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment right over on the website in the show notes for this episode. Finally, as we near the end of the school year and kids are starting to come home, we do want to recognize, we often recognize our teachers, I know, in the United States. I know we always try to give a little something to my kids' teachers to recognize them. They do a lot of hard work, and heck, they put up with my kids. If you know what I'm like, you can only imagine what my kids are like. But certainly, there are other people that we should be recognizing. And one of those people, I think, is the unsung hero of the community health environment, and that's the school nurse. There's a great article here talking about a school nurse being a prime healthcare provider. This is an article that focuses on a particular school nurse in this community, but it might be one of those things if you're representing your local nursing organization, maybe your state or nursing organization, that you find a way to reach out and encourage local papers to do a story about school nurses and the things that they provide in your region, because it's different from state to state and county to county. Certainly, in this particular article, it talks about all of those key things that school nurses do. Of course, they're there to provide first aid, but they're really there for all the students with special needs, students with chronic health conditions, to administer medications that have to be administered midday, and also engage in prevention, health and wellness, diet, all of those things. The holistic patient really comes to the forefront in the school nursing environment, because you really are helping kids be healthier in so many different ways, not just the chronically ill kids, but you can work with the local dietitian, the school diet committee, to try to improve school lunches, which are still horrendous. Is there a way that we can provide cost-effective and also highly nutritious school lunches for kids? And that's a challenge, because, you know, as costs get cut, it's a lot easier to buy those pre-processed fried tater tots and chicken nuggets and hot dogs and things like that to feed kids, when we could maybe find some other alternatives and do some things. And school nurses are involved in that whole process. So I urge you to read this article. I urge you to reach out and thank a school nurse in your area. You know, as nurses, we can thank each other too, and not just wait for the public to do so. A lot of you listening to this or checking this out have kids or grandkids or planning on having kids. Contact your local elementary, middle, or high school, junior high school, and just say, you know, I'd like to leave a note of thanks to the school nurse. You can often find their email address on the school's website, so you can just send them an email address saying, hey, I'm a nurse. I just wanted to thank you for being a school nurse and helping to keep our community safe. It is just one of those things we can do to pat each other on the back. And this has actually inspired me to look back, and I'd done an interview a while back with a past president of the National Association of School Nurses. And so I'm hoping that I can find that interview. And if I can, I'll be able to bring it out here and play it in the tip coming up here in just a sec. So I did manage to find that article for Donna Mazik, that interview that I did in the past. And actually, I found out that I recorded it, but I don't think I ever posted it to the show. So boneheaded play by me, because it's really a great interview. So this is brand new. Even if you've been listening to The Nursing Show for a long time, this isn't a retooled interview. This is actually an interview that I don't think ever made it to The Nursing Show for one reason or another. It just slipped under the radar. I'm really excited to bring it back. So you actually hear Donna actually refer to 2009. Yeah, that's how long ago it was. But this is Donna Mazik. She's a school nurse, former president of the National Association of School Nurses, and she was gracious enough to join me and record this interview talking about school nurses and the issues and trends and things that are happening with school nurses, and how you might be interested or find out more information about how to become a school nurse. So let's jump into that interview segment with Donna right now. Hi, this is Jamie Davis saying we have a special interview segment right now with Donna Mazik. She's a past president of the National Association of School Nurses. We're going to be talking about school nursing as a profession and a career choice for nurses, and a little bit about some of the broader issues going on in school nursing in the United States. So, Donna, welcome to The Nursing Show.
Thank you, Jamie. It's great to be with you today.
I always try to start off these interviews with a look at how you became a nurse. What is it in the pathway that you took to become a nurse?
Okay. Well, I went to a four-year college and became a nurse. I became a nurse after that baccalaureate degree and began my work as a med-surg nurse in two hospitals, actually. And after being in the hospitals for about 13 months, I knew from my education that I really, really liked public health nursing, community health nursing. And so I had transitioned to a new city after getting married and began working for a visiting nurse service. And from that, I pretty much stayed in home care and community health for about 14 years. After 14 years, I decided to try school nursing. I was intrigued by having a different population. I was used to community nursing, and I saw school as another type of public health nursing, and so I began school nursing. And I've been in it for over 15 years, and it is a specialty in nursing that I truly enjoy.
You know, it sounds like it. And I heard you say something, and it's something I talk about to the nurses here on the nursing show quite frequently. I talk to them about keeping an open mind when they go on their clinical rotations, because I find that you're often surprised when you keep an open mind and go into a new situation. And you may find an area in nursing school that is something you didn't think you'd be interested in. It sounds to me like that worked out that way for you, too.
Absolutely, Jamie. You give very good advice. When I was in my public health nursing rotation, I was absolutely surprised by how much I enjoyed it, and it ended up being my whole nursing career focus.
So you moved from being a home care nurse or visiting nurse and a public health nurse into school nursing. Was that something you did in your local school district because your kids were in school and you saw an opening there, or was it something that you moved into in a more direct manner?
I moved into it directly, Jamie. I enjoyed the teaching aspect of my nursing, and I found that in the high school where I began my school nursing career that I would have an opportunity to do a lot of teaching with students who were on their way to being young adults. And I relished that opportunity. My children at the time were actually elementary age. And so while I was not in their school, I really did appreciate the what I learned from working with teenagers in school.
So you got into school nursing at the high school level and really found that educational aspects of school nursing very rewarding. I guess that's something that really goes hand in hand with nursing in general, but definitely in a school setting. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. I'll give you a definition of school nursing from the National Association of School Nurses. And
okay.
School nursing is described as a specialized practice of professional nursing that advances the well-being, academic success, and lifelong achievement of students. And so school nurses really facilitate positive student responses to their normal development. School nurses promote health and safety. School nurses intervene with actual and potential health problems. School nurses provide case management services and actively collaborate with others in the school and in the greater community to build student and family capacity for adaptation, self-management, self-advocacy, and learning. So teaching is a very big component of school nursing, in addition to direct care and screening and a lot of different roles that school nurses have.
It really seems broad for a specialized area in nursing, very broad, I guess, because of the wide-ranging developmental aspects of kids and the wide range of kids in school age.
That's correct, and we have finding with the National Association of School Nurses, a survey we did with members in 2007 actually revealed that about 38% of our membership are now working with pre-K children. So school nurses can work with children from infants and toddler, 3-year-olds all the way through age 21. It is pretty much a broad area.
And if you're working, if you're a nurse listening to this and you're thinking about becoming a school nurse in your community or just thinking about going in that direction, what are some of the steps that nurse needs to do to go ahead and become a school nurse?
Well, first a school nurse would have to find out what the requirements are in their state and in their school district for a school nurse. That varies across the nation, so the first place to begin is with that school district or that state education department. Some states require certification of nurses in order for them to work in schools. Other states do not.
Okay.
But all states would require a licensed nurse to be able to do the role of school nursing. There's also national certification of school nurses, which NASN promotes, that's provided through the National Board for Certification of School Nurses.
So what are some of the big issues that you're seeing? School nursing has been in the news. It's the end of the school year, so we see some things about school nurses coming up in the news occasionally and just things. What are some of the big issues in school nursing nationwide that you're seeing going on right now?
Well, school nurses provide a health safety net for students, and as such, they help school children who may have chronic health problems to manage their health conditions during the school day. Students come to school with asthma, with type 1 diabetes, some with type 2 diabetes, seizure disorders, and school nurses assist the student and the family in developing individualized health care plans that would help that student be healthy and safe in school with those health problems. We see a growing number of students with food allergies and other allergies that could possibly cause anaphylaxis. And so school nurses are there to provide for the health and safety of those students. School nurses are actually the foundation for health care in schools. And as such, they will look after issues that are even broader than what comes into the health room. School nurses will team with school counselors to address bullying prevention. School nurses are a strategic partner in the schools in the area of disaster preparedness. School nurses, of course, provide first aid. They also provide a link with the staff related to the health of children in the school building.
So, Donna, it sounds like from what you're saying, if you're a nurse who really enjoys looking at that whole patient picture, not just the patient in the hospital, but also what's going on at home, the big health picture, that this might really be a great opportunity for you to get involved with that aspect of holistic style nursing, looking at the whole population and how they interact with their community, just general health care.
That's really true. School nurses, as I mentioned before, provide a health safety net for students, and school nurses are educated to address the needs of the whole child, and they see children as whole and connected to families and guardians and at school needing to fulfill their educational goals. And so school nurses look at students in a whole systems view. School nurses work in a public health framework to address specific federal mandates to meet the health needs of students, in addition to state mandates, for example, screening for vision and hearing and postural screening, making sure that immunizations are completed as appropriate for students, and then treating health problems. School nurses are always looking at that whole child.
So there are a lot of great resources I've seen that are available on your site at nasn.org. I like to see links for things like continuing education on different sites and promote them to the other nurses listening. And all of that's available at nasn.org, correct?
Yes, that's correct. As a matter of fact, NASN, the National Association of School Nurses, provides online education because we understand that school nurses are busy and oftentimes need to continue their education in a manner that's flexible. And so we do have a great offering of online education programs, in addition to having regional programs on diabetes management and weight management for students, as well as an annual conference that we have.
Well, that's great, Donna. I want to thank you very much for checking out the show and enabling me to bring you here on and talk about school nurses. Here we are at the end of the school year. And again, we'll be directing people over to the NASN.org site, the National Association of School Nurses, and hopefully give our listeners and viewers here at The Nursing Show an opportunity to learn a little bit more about what goes on with school nurses. I think often we just don't realize that this is such an important part of our community health and, of course, our children's health as well.
Thank you, Jamie. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. And again, I urge your listeners to go to NASN.org to find out more about the specialty of school nursing.
We will definitely do that. And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank everybody for checking out the program this week and encourage you to follow up on the additional information, links to information about what Donna was talking about in her interview earlier. Also, the news segments and items and other links on how to contact me, all available at nursingshow.com. You can find all the information right there at the top of the page. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link for show notes. Click that link and it'll take you to a list of the show notes. The most recent episode will be shown there first, and you can scroll down and find past episodes as well. So I encourage you to follow up and check out the information available here at The Nursing Show and follow up on that information. If you'd like to get back in touch with me, you can always leave a comment on any of the articles over at the site. When you do leave a comment, it actually sends me an email saying, hey, so-and-so left an email or a comment, and it gives me an opportunity to respond back, and also does it in a more public forum, which enables other people to comment on our discussion. But if you'd rather get in touch with me directly by email, you can do that as well. Send me those emails in to nursingshow@gmail.com. You can also contact me via Twitter, Facebook. You can find me there under my handle Podmedic, P-O-D-M-E-D-I-C, and Podmedic. So twitter.com/Podmedic, facebook.com/Podmedic. And if you haven't already done so, we're over 1,000 fans. You know, big news, in the month of May, we kicked over to over 1,000 fans of the Nursing Show fan page on Facebook, which I'm really excited about. So thanks to all of you that have become a fan there and keep spreading the word and checking back. I've been trying to post more regularly articles and things that I find around the web. They may not make it to the Nursing Show site, but will get posted at the fan page. And so if you're following Facebook, you can see that stuff pop up and check those links out. So you can find all of that over at facebook.com/nursingshow. That's it. We're going to close out the show with PodSafe music. We're going to bring Henry and the Invisibles back again for his song, The Power of 10. You can find more of his music and just an excellent funk band over at Henry and the Invisibles. And that's henryinvisibles.com. So check it out and let him know you heard it here on The Nursing Show. That's it. I'm Jamie Davis. I'll be back again soon with another episode of The Nursing Show every week here for you. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
The definition sliding, open up a door. I see the system of life. I stop quick, I think about it twice, and I don't quit before I begin. I firmly believe in the powers of 10. Power. episode of 10. I'm living down my thoughts in your wishing well. By any premonition that we've been fishing for, giving up a definition, sliding open up a door. I see the system of life. Stop quick and I think about it twice, and I don't.